Dr. Joseph McCullough is a well-known health activist and proponent to many, the most famous in the world. Dr. McCullough is an osteopathic physician and is board certified in family medicine. He has served as the chairman of the family medicine department at St. Alexius Medical Center for 5 years and is trained in both traditional and natural medicine. He is a fellow of the American College of Nutrition and a member of numerous professional advisory boards. Dr. McCullough's mission is to, one, provide the most up-to-date natural health information and resources that will most benefit humankind, and secondly, to expose corporate government and mass media hype that diverts us away from what is truly best for our health, and often taking us on a path that leads straight toward an early grave. Dr. Joseph McCullough, you're very, very welcome at this tribunal. Thank you for being available at 6 o'clock in the morning where you are.
Okay, great. Well, I suspect everyone has heard my half-hour video that I sent in earlier. So, you know, that really is the highlight. So I thought if I'm going to be on with you live, I could maybe just interact and take some questions and really address the issues that are most pressing for the people there rather than rant for another 30 minutes on something that may not be relevant.
One of the most fundamental basic human rights is individual autonomy. The question is, will it survive the 21st century? Or will technology sites like Google and Facebook accumulate the power to eliminate your civil liberties and censure essential information that could save your life? What I'm about to tell you may sound shocking, but it is essential you listen very carefully as it may be the most important information I've ever shared with you. It's crucial for you to be able to take control of your health. So what's this all about? It's about information and your right to access it. You see, over the years, the biggest library in the world has been concentrated at one single source. And can you guess what that is? Google. And unfortunately, Google has recently removed almost all of my content from their search results, as I have been consistently critical of them and many of their top advertisers and partners like the pharmaceutical and chemical industries. Google worked for many years to earn your trust, but it was just setting a trap to twist that trust into powerful control. Google had the brilliant idea of utilizing crowdsourcing to provide you with the best answers to your questions, pushing the most frequently selected content to the top of the search results. And it was truly a democratic and powerful system to reward people for sharing information and helping you locate the information that was most valuable to you by essentially sharing the most popular, highest quality content. And my information was frequently at the top of hundreds of different search terms in Google because people like you found it to be valuable. But as Google's power grew enormously, the goal of providing this service to you has changed. That goal is now to become even more powerful by uniting with other powerful industries and the government to force their beliefs on the masses and control the future so they can benefit from it. Crowdsourcing has become crowd control. Google began giving you everything you want so it can now take everything you have. Google has changed from looking at their users as customers and giving them what they want to making us custodians to their will. Google has become the ultimate puppet master, infecting people and manipulating them without them even knowing it. The true goal is to be in complete control of us, directing our behavior. And should we rebel? They also have partnered with the military, and I know that sounds hard to believe, but I can assure you they've created drones utilizing artificial intelligence to ensure resistance will be defeated. This is, of course, eerily reminiscent of many dystopian science fiction books and movies. We have proof of precisely what Google is doing, and we cannot go along with it. Google refers to their goal of controlling humanity as the selfish ledger, and there's more information on the article we wrote. Our lives are being exploited by Google and other large tech companies, and you have no idea how far they have come or where they are going. They can predict and control your behavior to their advantage. Google has now become a site that censors information that is in the best interest of their primary customers. And in case you are wondering, that is not you. They now serve that which is in their best interest, and that is their advertisers. In other words, whatever makes them the most money. The end result is a massive suppression of truth, and our freedom is seriously threatened. Now, I'm a board-certified physician, and I've treated over 20,000 patients in my first 20 years of clinical medicine, largely because I am perpetually curious and constantly seeking to identify fundamental root causes of health and disease. I've developed an understanding of health that diverges widely from conventional medicine. I've been passionate about technology over 50 years when I took my first computer class, long before the World Wide Web ever existed. I started my website in 1997. That's before Google, Amazon, or Facebook ever existed. Finding answers on the web now has become synonymous with Google, and it is now part of our vocabulary. If you want to find the answer on the internet, you Google it. When we typically think of Google, we think of the amazing benefits it provides, and nobody wants to acknowledge just how evil Google has become. Major industries and the government have become one with big tech, forming a formidable fascist entity that is narrowly focused on protecting their profits and controlling the masses. The price is steep. It will cost us our personal liberties and our freedom of speech. We have known for many years about the revolving door between industries and federal regulatory agencies. In a recent study published last month in Public Citizen, found a whopping 60% of the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission officials, entered into financial relationships with technology companies after leaving the government. Not surprisingly, the current head of the antitrust division at the Department of Justice is a former Google lobbyist. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You may remember Lord Acton's famous quote when he said, "Power is always accompanied by corruption of morality, and those with too much power cannot help but be evil." The fascist complex has a vested interest in censoring information from my site and many others. The information I discuss about pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines, GMOs, pesticides, junk food, artificial sweeteners, and other dangerous additives like and fake meat are prime targets for censorship. You see, when you take control of your health, you take that power away from them. I've been writing about Google for many years now because I knew that this day was coming. So on June 3rd of this year, Google predictably removed my website and several other health sites from their search results. The good news, it's a wake-up call for everyone. And it's now more than ever that we need to work together to share this information with others by word of mouth, by text, by email. I not only learn from the experts I interview every week, but I spend most of my day reading and researching the scientific literature and the comments you post on our website. I know how much everyone is learning from each other and how Google will not stop this knowledge from reaching others. The search engine on the Mercola website is the best way for you to get access to my information. But above all else, please, please stop using Google. Where there are problems with most other search engines, use anything but Google. Bing and Yahoo haven't eliminated us from the search engine, but they have privacy issues. DuckDuckGo and StartPage are better options, but they use Google search results. So it's a big can of worms now, but don't use Google. Don't use other Google products like the Chrome browser. Use Opera or the one I use, which is Brave, and based on the software Chromium, so it's easy to import all your favorite bookmarks and pages and applications. So stop using Gmail. Why would you want Google to read all your emails and further abuse your privacy? There are many other better options, such as ProtonMail. And perhaps one of the most important steps that you can take is to subscribe to my free daily newsletter and read the articles we work so hard to produce for you. Remember, you will not find this in most search engines now. So if you want to find honest, reliable, and accurate information, just come to our site. It's also important to tell your friends and relatives and people you really care about what Google is doing. And if they have any interest in health or struggle with health problems, remind them about Mercola.com. It's here to help you, your friends, and your family, and those you care about truly take control of your health. So now that we've got the breaking news out of the way, I want to give you some solid information, which represents an example of the type of details that we provide with you on our site. And I'm going to provide two of the most important. One is to optimize your health, and that is how you eat. There's a lot of confusion and a lot of controversy about dietary choices. So we're not going to look into that. I mean, everyone's got their own beliefs and preferences. Of course, we want to eat the healthiest food we can, but the key here, and the one that everyone, no matter what food you're eating, would likely benefit from, is a concept called intermittent fasting, or what I like to refer to as compressed eating window. And by that, I mean not eating for 16 to 18 hours a day. And I know that sounds a bit interesting or odd, or maybe even challenging or difficult. But the reason I know that is because researchers like Sachin Panda out at the Salk Institute of California has done extensive surveys and found that 90% of Americans, 9 out of 10 people, eat more than 12 hours a day, and probably more than half of people eat 16 hours a day. In other words, the only time they're not eating is when they're sleeping. And that is a prescription for metabolic disaster. And there's a number of reasons for that. But the primary one is that we're not replicating what our ancient ancestral eating patterns were. And our ancestors never had the opportunity or the food availability to eat 24/7 like we do now in contemporary society. So as a result of that, our genetics, our metabolism, our cellular structures are not designed to have continuous food sources. And when you do provide them food continuously, your health will suffer, and you will age prematurely, and you will suffer chronic degenerative diseases. So one of the simplest things you can do is to gradually decrease that eating window, to get it to 6 to 8 hours. And ideally 6 hours. And the younger you are, you could even go to 4 hours. And if you're challenged, you can go to 8 or 10, but a minimum of 12. And really at 12, you don't get a lot of the benefit. I mean, that's pretty much relatively easy to do, even though 90% of the people in America are doing it. But you want to get down to 6 or 8. And the key is when you stop eating, this is probably one of the most important principles too, is that you eat at least 3 hours before you're going to go to bed. And the reason for that is when you are taking in calories that you're not going to burn for energy, your body can't use that. And it backs up in your metabolic machinery that are used to break down that fuel and provide energy to your body. Typically in your mitochondria. And when that fuel backs up, it creates excessive oxidative stress, which creates free radicals, which damages your cell membranes, your protein, your enzymes, your DNA, and it will cause health problems. So the way you can limit that damage is by making sure that you're not eating for at least 3 hours before you go to bed. I know that's a challenge for some people because you work, maybe not get home till 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, and then you have your spouse that you're going to connect with, and that's the time where you do that. Well, you can still do that, but you just don't have to eat. You can have a glass of sparkling water and spend the time together. Obviously, the relational time is very, very important with your family, but the key is to not have your major source of calories before you go to bed, because your biology is not designed for that. And that's a big issue, and it'll help adjust and maximize the benefits of your circadian rhythm. And while you're doing this restricted eating window, it's ideal to make sure that you're also going to bed at a reasonable time. The ideal and optimal time for most people is to go to bed when the sun sets and to wake up when the sun rises. Now, that's not possible for many people, but the closer you get to that, the better your circadian rhythm optimization will be and the better your health will be. Those are simple strategies. They don't cost you anything. And in fact, if you compress your eating window, you'll save money. And once you've done that for a few weeks, a month or two, then your body will typically regain what's called metabolic flexibility. I would say 80 to 90% of the people that are listening to this are metabolically inflexible. And what does that mean? That means that you have two primary fuels your body can burn. One is fat, the other is carbohydrates. And unless you engage in regular periods where you're not eating, as I talked about the intermittent fasting restricted eating window, then you tend to rely more on carbohydrates or glycogen, which is the way that it's stored in your body and your liver and your muscle. So, and that fuel doesn't last very long. And because you're eating all the time, you're always continually replacing it so your body can rely on it. It's actually one of its preferred fuels. If it's around, it'll use it. So that's why you have to deplete your glycogen by not eating. And once you deplete your glycogen, then your body can access your fat stores and activate these enzymes, which not only break down your fat, but change the fat to something you've probably heard about or even have practiced, which is ketones. And if you're not familiar with ketones, ketones are water-soluble fats. They're very small fats. And because they're so small and water-soluble, it can easily penetrate cell membranes. So they go right into your brain, past the blood-brain barrier, and pretty much every cell in your body. And your mitochondria can use them and burn them far more efficiently than it can carbohydrates. And it creates less reactive oxygen species, and it's a cleaner fuel, has less pollution. So that's why you want to engage in this and have this metabolic flexibility. And you don't want to do a keto diet continuously. Some people may need to do it for a few weeks, a few months, or maybe even longer if they're metabolically impaired. But once you're flexible, then you need to have carbohydrates. You don't want to do low-carb diet all the time because that's going to be a problem too. But it's a useful strategy when you're seeking to regain your metabolic flexibility. And if you've done this for a while, metabolically flexible, you've got a restricted eating window, then you can engage in another restricted eating window and extend that time from rather than 16 to 18 hours to once a week, or maybe even more if you have a lot of weight to lose, going to a day or 2 days a week where you're not eating anything. And it's a practice that is it's a type of fasting that is a very short fast. It's a two-day fast that I prefer. I don't really believe in the longer fast for most people because we've been exposed to so many toxins that it's very difficult to engage in a fast, long fast without causing some metabolic complications because our ability to change and to modify these toxins so that they can be easily eliminated through our skin or our kidneys, our stool is impaired. So shorter fasts, I think, done more frequently provide you with a much longer, much better comprehensive collective benefit than doing longer fast less frequently. So it's a great strategy. I do it once a week where I don't eat on Sunday. My last meal is on Saturday in the afternoon, mid-afternoon, and I'll eat again on Monday morning about 10 or 11. So that's a strategy I think that is really helpful. Now, if you're underweight, if you're pregnant, if you're breastfeeding, if you're a child, then you don't want to do this because there's different phases of life when you need to build cells and muscle tissue, which is called anabolism, and then there's the catabolism where you're fasting, you're breaking down and you're activating a process called autophagy. And autophagy is from two Greek words meaning self-eating. And that's a magical process that if you're not metabolically flexible, you're not doing. And there's significant consequences of that because autophagy is the process where you go in and repair these damaged cellular parts that are defective and they're not getting rid of them, they're just clogging up the system and causing you problems, creating inflammation and accelerating the aging process. So that's one of the benefits of doing the intermittent fasting where you're restricted eating window and even the longer fasting once or twice a week. So that's a simple thing. And again, you can pretty much do it with any food you're eating. You could be a vegan, you could be a carnivore. Those are kind of the two extremes. And there's obviously a lot of room in the middle of those. The other thing I've recently learned about that I just want to give you a heads up on, you may not have recognized how important it is, there's something called oxalates. Oxalates are somewhat like lectins, which are these poisons that are in many plants that are perceived to be healthy, but can be a problem. And many healthy foods like healthy chocolate, would be celery would be another one, or spinach is a classic, or beets. You know, these are foods that are very high in oxalates, and there's a lot of complications from eating too many oxalates that can cause these a wide variety of symptoms that people are not aware of, and many healthcare professionals are not aware of. But I just want to put a tickle in your ear, and I'm actually going to be interviewing Sally Norton shortly, and we're going to be discussing this in detail. And if it piques your interest, you may want to look her up on YouTube. She's got many brilliant interviews on there, and I would definitely encourage you to research that, because it's simple to do. You know, seeds would be another one, beans, most nuts, macadamia nuts would be the lowest, but it's still relatively high in oxalates. So this is a simple strategy. Again, this is not expensive. It basically is simple things that you can do that can have a radical influence on your health. Now, I'll share another one with you, and I've actually written a book on this. And the book is coming out in February of, at least that's the anticipated pub date of 2020. So early next year, about 6 months away. And the book is about the dangers of EMFs. And I suspect many of you have heard of them. I think Sacha has actually done a video on that. We featured it on our site. So I'm agree with that approach, and that we need to have some concern about these. And the book that I've written, I've had many, about more than a dozen well-respected researchers in the field review the book already, and they've told me it was the best they've seen. Because I've been able to, it took me 3 years to write this book, and carefully review the literature and compile something I have not seen put together in one place, which is the rationale as to why you're not aware that it's an issue, which has to do largely with manipulation and deception by the wireless industry, and following almost the identical playbook that the tobacco industry used. So if you're not aware of this and you think that your cell phone and Wi-Fi are safe, don't feel bad, because there are real clever plans to confuse you and deceive you and not let you know the truth about this, but they are very dangerous exposures. And the good thing news is that you don't have to fall for this. You can easily change your behavior and limit your exposure to this. So one of the big, I go into the science real deeply, and the standard in the book, and the standard response by industry, the wireless industry, is that EMFs are safe, cell phones are safe, Wi-Fi, there's no study that proves that they're dangerous. The reality is, and that's because it's non-ionizing radiation. And what that means is that radiation doesn't have enough energy to displace electrons and cause a free radical. So an example of ionizing radiation would be X-rays or gamma rays or neutrons from uranium, a Fukushima reactor. So we know that this causes damage. There's no dispute, no controversy about this. And the primary damage is to our DNA. It causes damage to our enzymes and proteins and cell membranes and stem cells and mitochondria, but what's most widely acknowledged is the DNA. No dispute about that. Well, the dispute is that the belief is that non-ionizing radiation, like your cell phone, like Bluetooth devices, like smart devices, like your Wi-Fi router, or wireless signal that you probably are getting right now, is believed to be safe, but it's not. Because if you go deep into the science, you'll find that when these frequencies hit your cell membranes, they cause a cascade of events that essentially results in calcium going into the cells and calcium causing an increase in other free radicals that essentially combine to form one of the most pernicious molecules in your body, which is peroxynitrite, which you might not have heard of. And don't feel bad, before I studied this, I had never heard of it. It was recently recognized, but it's very similar to hydroxyl free radical in that it can cause really severe damage, because it spins off another one, which is called carbonate free radical. And this carbonate free radical is very similar, causes almost identical damage that X-rays do. Damages your DNA. It causes single and double-stranded breaks. And fortunately, there are some simple things you can do to remediate that. And I go into the book in great detail that is pretty much information that I have not seen anywhere else compiled, because I've got access to some of the leading researchers in the world in anti-aging, and they're giving me details that they haven't published yet. So This information is in the book when it comes out in February. And one of those molecules is something called NAD plus, which you might have heard of. That's short for nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. Big word, but it's a powerful coenzyme. It controls about 700 reactions in your body. And without it, you'd be dead in literally 10 to 15 seconds. So it is absolutely essential for running your health. And the issue with this is that, and I believe this is one of the reasons why we get sick when we get older and die at 70, 80, 90 years old, is because our NAD levels really drop to the dirt and they really go low. I mean, there's a lot of things that decline with aging, but NAD is one of the underappreciated ones. And if you can increase your NAD levels and get them up, then you can have appropriate cellular function and you can slow down the aging accelerator. So that's a key thing. And obviously there's different supplements and precursors you can take to increase NAD, and there's a lot of confusion on that. I seek to clear that up in the book. But one of the most important strategies doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just essentially going back to historical perspectives. Because literally 100 years ago, that's not too long. It is not long. A century ago, World War I, around that area, we have a quintillion increase in EMF exposure. That's 10 with 18 zeros behind it. That's a billion. That's a lot. So you would have, I mean, it's just irrational to believe that when you increase exposure to a frequency of energy that we've never been exposed to, that a billion fold times, that there's not going to be a consequence for that. So that is the exposure in the environment, but it doesn't have to be your exposure. Because you can protect yourself. And the simplest way to protect yourself is to make sure that when you are carrying your cell phone, that you do not put it on your body unless it's in airplane mode. Airplane mode will protect you, but I even like to put my phone in a Faraday bag that you can get on Amazon, and it costs like $5, and it really works, even if your phone's on. But ideally, you put it in airplane mode or turn it off and put it in this bag this way, because there's even signals coming out when it's in airplane mode, but it's radically reduced. So that's a simple one. And then turn off your Wi-Fi at night. And ideally, take the next step. That's the toe in the water. Turn off your Wi-Fi at night. That's the minimum you can do. But ideally, you contact a home theater consultant. And these are companies that usually are very skilled at going into your walls and putting Ethernet cable. So you get rid of your Wi-Fi completely and just have a modem, cable modem, where the signal comes in by wire. And you run that wire throughout your house wherever you need an internet connection. And yes, it's a little less convenient. And for those rare instances where you really need an internet connection, you can use your cell phone as a mobile Wi-Fi hotspot, and you can connect for a minute or two a day, but you're not continuously exposed to it. This is especially important when you're sleeping. Ideally, you need to sleep in an EMF sanctuary. And there are things like paint that I go into the book, like painting your walls with certain shielding paint in your bedroom and the floor and the ceiling and the windows and the doors, or at least the window frames, and maybe putting certain barriers over the window so that that doesn't come in, because windows are very transparent to EMF. So I go through those chapters and comprehensive, extensive remediation suggestions from some of the top experts in the United States. So it's a great book, and I know it's coming out till February. And if you're concerned about EMS, as you well should be, and you don't want to wait till then, there's another good book written, the best book out there, I think, now, is by Nick Pannault, and it's the Tinfoil Guide to EMFs, and it's available pretty much anywhere you find books. But there's a lot of practical suggestions with that. But Nick's just an investigative journalist. He's not a trained health professional, but he's done a good job of compiling the information. So the book comes out in next year, early next year. So I definitely keep an eye on it. But as I said earlier, with this Google problem, is, you know, it's a big issue. So you're not going to find my information on in the major search engines now, except for Yahoo or Bing. And I would strongly encourage you to sign up for our newsletter, mercola.com. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And this way you'll get the latest. Or for you who don't want to sign up for it, if you just remember to when you're searching for a health topic, just type in mercola.com and what you want to find about in Google, and it'll come up. It's not like we're out of the search engine completely. It's just that it will never come up if you type in a keyword like Splenda or the dangers of glyphosate or Roundup. We're eliminated. We're not in those. I mean, we're just X'd out completely unless you type in mercola.com. So most people obviously aren't going to do that. So our traffic has decreased pretty radically from Google. We used to be like 250,000 people a day, and now it's down to a few thousand. So, but that's okay. I'm really excited and very inspired to know that there are people like you are out there, that you are benefiting from this information, and that you can really have the opportunity to take control of your health by taking active measures and engaging in this information, with this information, and applying it so you can avoid needless pain and suffering and dying prematurely. So, well, thanks for the opportunity to be with you. And I think I'm going to be on a live broadcast later. We just have to work on the details, but I don't know it at the time of this recording. So hopefully I'll talk to you soon.
We didn't receive a video earlier, but that was probably because we were blacked out here with no internet, and we only just got on about an hour ago. So I'm afraid to say, no, we've not been able to watch any video that you submitted earlier. But whatever video you did submit will certainly be rolled in and edited into the media that we're creating for this judicial commission. Are you able, Dr. Mercola, to summarize in a few minutes? Because we're sufficiently, I think we're sufficiently aware of the subject matter on this commission to be able to ask pertinent questions on the back of a 5 minute or 10 minute summary.
Okay, sure. So actually today, if you go on the internet, my lead article is about exactly what I've summarized in the 30 minute presentation. And that is that Google has essentially removed us and many other health sites, but certainly us, from the search engine. It's part of a worldwide agenda.
Dr. Mercola, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but your microphone on your shirt seems to be rubbing every time you speak. Is there any way you can reposition it, or it'll make it very difficult for the public gallery?
Is that better?
Hearing a bit of background noise, but if you remain absolutely motionless, we might be able to get it.
Better.
Please proceed.
I froze.
There he is, motionless.
Well, not that still.
Picking it up, I can't hear what you're saying.
We're just hoping that strange background noise will have left by now.
Is that better?
Yep, that sounds terrific. Please proceed in your own time. Thank you.
Today we published. I summarized on a 30-minute video. Provided earlier that you apparently didn't have the opportunity to hear, was how Google has taken us out of the search engines. That was a significant source of traffic for us, with about 250,000 views a day. It's down to like 1,000 views a day. So, I mean, that is problematic for us, but even more so for the world audience, because we provide the access to truth and information and seek to discredit and uncover the actions that many of these multinational corporations are doing to hurt and harm the public. So by taking us and other health sites out of the search engines, they essentially eliminate access to that truth. And many people that would have found us by just fair searching will never find us, because Google has decided to eliminate us. And that's sad, because Google at least started out with good intentions, at least ostensibly, but certainly has morphed into one of the most evil corporations on the planet, unquestionably, and without a doubt, they are the largest monopoly in the history of the world. And you might wonder why they have not been able to be removed. Well, that's because, like most large corporations, they have effectively infiltrated the federal regulatory agencies in the United States and essentially circumvented that. We've got former Google employees who are now taking lead positions in the Department of Justice. So essentially they're immunized from any regulatory actions to address their truly illegal actions. So that is a summary. If you want more details, I did a very extensive video that's on my site. It's the lead article on my site today, and it will be part two tomorrow. So it goes into great details and documents with dozens and dozens of references exactly what's going on. So I would encourage you to look at that. Secondly, I discussed some summary highlights of my new book, which is about EMF, and it comes out in the spring. I'm just finishing the draft to submit to the publisher. It's in the revision process by a number of experts in EMF, so it's going to be very accurate. It's an unusual book in that it's put together the science very well and summarize it and gives very specific recommendations. But many people aren't aware of this for similar reasons that Google has taken us out of the search engines, because there's a collusion between large industries and the federal regulatory agencies that essentially insulates these industries from any action. And it's not only between the federal regulatory agencies, but it's also between the media. And the media essentially is for the most part is controlled by these. And so the typical information that the average individual is going to get is either filtered through the agents, primarily by Google. Google has acted common information. When you want to search for something on the internet now, you don't search for it, you Google it. Sort of by default, you know, it's the Kleenex of tissues. So it's really branded into our culture. So the details I go into the EMF sort of near what's in documentary, they go into a lot more of this detailed science and specific mediations.
That might do it, actually. Turn the video off momentarily and see if that helps.
It does, similar to x-rays, although the industry and the media would have you believe that's not the case, because x-rays are a much higher energy wavelength and can damage DNA directly, which is the primary result of exposure to this type of radiation. But it also damages your stem cells, your mitochondria, your cell membranes, proteins. So most of your tissue in your body. But with respect to x-rays, no controversy that that's damaging. It's well accepted.
Can you please kill the ionizing
radiation, which doesn't have enough energy to DNA directly, that the belief that it is not damaging. But the reality is that when you're exposed to radio frequencies in the wireless range, you're biochemical reactions that results in
Dr. Mercola, I'm going to stop you there, I'm afraid, because we're not hearing
ionizing radiation.
We're not hearing a word. Can you send through a message? I think he turned the audio off at his end to stop the feedback. Dr. Mercola, thank you. I'm going to stop you there because for whatever abstruse reason, we're not able to hear this part of your deposition. We certainly got the thrust of what you were saying about Google, what you were saying about... Dr. Mercola, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yes. Just seriously disappointed with all your technical difficulties.
Indeed, as are we. But let me just say, we've been having tremendous problems in Bali all week, just so you know. The issues are definitely coming from here. But I will say that we understood the thrust of what you were speaking to, which is the fact that you've been deplatformed. And you're certainly in the process of being wiped off the airwaves in much the same way that we understand that Mike Adams and what's my Natural News have also been deplatformed in the last couple of weeks. So what we're learning from that is that, yes, indeed, Google itself and the alternative the social media platforms themselves are being weaponized. It's not just Biosphere. It's not just mainstream media. People like you who are trying to treat, cure, heal, good people of the world are being pulled off the air because you're a grave threat, apparently, to agendas which are appear to be underway. You've been reduced from 250,000 viewers a day to 1,000 viewers a day, I heard you just say. That is extraordinary. And in the Chief Justice...
That's not total views. That's just from Google.
Understood. The Chief Justice will speak to the law aspect in a moment. But I would say that it is clear that harm, loss, and or injury are being caused against you, your family, and your profession. Those of you who are genuinely concerned with healing and treating people of the world by Google and by the cohorts that appear to be also weaponized against humanity and stealing our capacity to be able to even communicate with each other, let alone spread information. So I would, on your behalf, ask the question here of the Chief Justice, where do you go, Sir John, when you're being reduced from 250,000 a day to 1,000 a day, your livelihood's being wiped out, your demographic is being wiped out, your life's work is being injured beyond repair. Where does one go, and to what law forum?
Well, that's the difficulty
Is that a question to me?
No, that's a question to the Chief Justice on your behalf.
The social media platforms are, in the main, owned by individuals, and as their property, they can basically cut you off. It's the same as the mainstream press that do not report the real news. And, you know, I know you've heard the expression fake news that Donald Trump's used. It's that's bad enough, but what is worse is the news that is not put out and people being pulled off Facebook and the other social media sites because they are immune in the sense that they operate in either from another country or through some intermediate company. There was a case in Australia just recently, when Cardinal Pell was convicted of a sexual matter, and there was a court embargo put on it, and it was picked up, of course, because the story leaked out as to what had happened at the first jury trial. I was one of the people it was leaked to, and it was leaked to social media sites that published it overseas, and it actually appeared in American newspapers, but there was nothing the judge could do about that. So what he did was charge the Australian journalists who repeated the story, and they didn't say they were breaking the embargo, they were just reporting what was in the American press. So it is a difficulty. It is hard to get publicity legally. There's a gentleman in Australia who's a journalist who publishes things on his website that the mainstream media will not publish. He publishes, for example, this upsets the judges, the names of paedophile judges. And when he's pulled up about it, he just says to them, "You're a paedophile. If you don't like it, sue me," and they're not going to sue him. So what they do is they concoct a contempt of court charge and lock him up. And it's not always effective. They did the same thing with a man called Darren Hinch in Victoria some years ago when he published the name of a priest who was a paedophile, and they locked him up. And what happened was when he got to the prison, he was treated as a hero by everybody, the prisoners and the staff. So they eventually have to let him out. And then he was elected to the Senate. And then he could repeat the same story under parliamentary privilege.
Well, I hope, Dr. McCullough, that you're able to hear what Sir John is saying. Were you hearing that?
No, it's really hard because he has a very thick British accent, I believe, and the delays.
Well, he was speaking.
The connection is bad.
Well, he was speaking to the collusion that we're all of us facing collusion, which we've been hearing for the last 2 days of testimony, between governments, government agencies, between the military-industrial complex, between the commercial sector, and agendas that appear to be moving against humanity and against the planet itself. But I think what we'll do, Dr. Mercola, is I've just been told that your earlier testimony has actually been downloaded finally, but not in this venue, in our other forum. So we'll be sure to watch that. And moreover, I think that we will be able to, with you, begin to work out some kind of a strategy for recourse and remedy. It is not acceptable to anyone in this on this bench or in this public gallery that somebody who has done such extraordinary service to this world gets deplatformed. Whether or not an individual called Mark Zuckerberg is the de facto owner of something called Facebook, which by best accounts, I repeat, by best accounts, is something which was insidiously inserted into our social model by nefarious elements within the intelligence community itself. This is stuff which, again, we will not turn a blind eye to. It is high time that the CEOs, the presidents, the chairpersons, the trustees, and the boards of directors of many of these apparently godless institutions and organizations are brought to task and brought to bear. And this commission will do everything it can to bring the right attention to your cause. Thank you, Dr. Joseph Mercola, for giving your deposition today to this tribunal.
Okay.